Blog Talk Radio.
And folks, welcome, welcome, welcome. There is no music. We just get right down to business. This is the show Making Sense with Mike and Tom. I am your host, Michael Mack. And here, of course, with my guy, the hostess, Mr. Tom Ellis-TH. How you feeling?
How it do? Feeling a little bit better than I did at, 12:45 on Sunday morning?
I was going to say, man, I saw you yesterday. You sound much better.
Yeah. I apologize. I wasn't here for the Saturday show. Of course, you can go to SoundCloud.com, check that out. Of course, hit us up on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at MSW Sports. And, of course, the website, MSWSports.com.
Exactly. So, we're going to get a little overhaul.
Yeah, I've been under the weather, a little sick, verklempt, as you might say. My throat, it was pretty bad, and I sounded like a 14-year-old girl on Friday. It was pretty awful. But I'm back. I'm ready to go. And, you know, we saw history on Sunday. We saw history on Sunday that a lot of people might not be thinking about.
I think I know where you're going with this.
We saw for the first time an NFL game live streaming on the internet. And I think it's one of those things that not a lot of people really understand, that this is going to start happening more.
Yeah.
It's already in the works for more coming. There is multiple games next year on the schedule that are not lined up for TV. There is even a thought, now this is just a thought that's been swirling around, that at some point, the games on Thursday may end up going to a live streaming option on the internet only. Now, right now they've got a contract with CBS and the NFL channel.
Oh, yeah, for network, right.
But that contract is up. Like, this is not a long-term contract. In fact, I think there's a contract up in 2016.
This is the first time you've seen a duel for the most part of the season where CBS and NFL are simultaneously broadcasting
right
once.
They had a collaboration with it.
Last year, you saw sprinkles of it, but this year, they were really hammering when you whipped it. I think, week 9? I think you're going, or I think it's next week, week 8, they're going straight NFL Network.
Right, exactly. So at some point, I think you're going to start seeing this. I think you're going to see two, if not more than two games live stream next year. This is like their test run, Bills versus Jags. And, you know, it looked awful to start. There is no doubt. The Buffalo Bills are in trouble. I told you, if they lost this game, their season's over.
You did?
This season's over. It's done. This was one of the worst losses I've experienced in quite a while as a Bills fan, personal losses.
Well, where do you go? Because they're questioning Doug Whaley. They're questioning
questioning Doug Whaley. You should be. I think that you should be questioning Greg Roman. I think you should be questioning Rex Ryan. I don't think you should question E.J. Manuel. E.J. Manuel is E.J. Manuel. We knew who he was. We knew he was going to give us what he gave us. You know, and they all came back and won the game.
They did.
E.J. Manuel.
E.J. Manuel was instrumental in the second half.
He was. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it was pretty much what you would want in a game if you wanted to showcase an NFL game to Europe, which is what they're trying to do, basically, and the world, because they're having a live stream, which
right.
Anybody could have watched in the world. And you have a team go down and then come back with 27 unanswered points in the second half. Some of a sudden they make a game out of it, and then they go ahead. And then it was just the last drive is what really got me. The play calling, it's 2nd and 6, and you're handing the ball off to LeSean McCoy, and he gets caught from behind.
It sounds like we've been having this discussion about play calling far too often.
It's 3rd and 1, and you've got E.J. Manuel running a sneak. What? On a 2-point conversion, you have him rolling to his left. He tried it twice before, and he couldn't even roll to his right.
Tom has been waiting to get this off his chest.
Are you kidding me?
For this Sunday.
You have to be kidding me. Anybody looking at that game would look at that and say, what's going on? What's happening? And I think, yeah, these questions need to be asked, and these things need to be addressed as far as who's making the calls, who's calling the shots, where does it end? Is there going to be at some point any type of change? Now, they're not getting rid of Rex Ryan. No, they're not. They could get rid of Greg Roland, but I don't think they will. I think that they're going to say, we're going to get healthy. We're on a bye week. This isn't over. But guess what? They got to go 7-2 just to be viable. Just to be viable. That doesn't even guarantee anything because that means that they're 10 wins. And look at the rest of the AFC.
Look at the rest of the AFC East.
You want to flip right over to the Dolphins, who they have to play on the other side of the line?
They look like one of those. Listen.
Yes.
Erase two bad teams. Well, erase all other big teams. Erase Carolina, New England, Green Bay, Denver. They're playing today, next week. Erase those teams. Erase even Atlanta at 5-1. 6-1. Miami looks like the scariest team right now in the NFL.
No, it's not. They do. They play two awful teams. If they do it against the Bills, which I think they're going to get up for this game. I think they're going to remember what the Bills did to them in the last game. And Dan Campbell, boy, I'll tell you what, if they don't hire him right off the bat, say, you're our coach going forward, you're not just interim, you're our coach, there is another team lined up ready to go and take that guy.
Those players seem like they really like playing for them.
I think that he is going to be the biggest sought-after coach in the league next year if Miami chooses not to keep him. I don't think they'll do that. I think that you're going to want as much continuity as possible. There's a ton of talent on that team. They killed Tennessee. Killed Tennessee. And then they turn around
and kill Houston.
So, yes, both teams are pretty bad. Yes, Houston no longer has Arian Foster. Done for the year. He's out. Could have told you that was going to happen at some point.
They also no longer have Ryan Mallett.
And, yeah, I was just about to say, now they no longer have Ryan Mallett. There's a lot of people here in Buffalo Town looking for him to come here.
Yes, I was going to ask you.
I wouldn't have a problem with it. I don't like the fact that he has attitude problems and issues, but I think he just wants out because he knows it's not going anywhere for him.
Right.
But I think you could do it in a different way. You know, EJ probably wants out, but you don't see him doing that. So
you respect a guy like that.
Right. That's what I mean. That's why I'm kind of on the fence about a guy like Ryan Mallett. And this team has a lot of issues in that respect. So, you know, I don't know. I'm on the fence. I'm not here nor there. If they get them, fine. If they don't, I'm not set up.
Right.
As a Bills fan.
Right. Moving on to an interconference matchup. New Orleans and Indianapolis. Now, Tom, we've kind of been on New Orleans' horns just a little bit, saying it's not over yet. They've got some real quality wins. They got a win against the Philadelphia Eagles, and they got a win against the Atlanta Falcons, and they got a win against now the Indianapolis Colts. Bigger question or bigger concern, New Orleans being a viable threat in the NFC, or did we put too much stock in Andrew Luck as a quarterback so early, so quick?
The second one. I'm a huge Andrew Luck fan. You know that. And the dude doesn't look right. Something's wrong. Either it's his shoulder, he's not 100% healthy, or he's going backwards in this offense. And if it's the second one, bye-bye Chuck Pagano. Simple as that.
Wow.
Bye-bye, what's his name?
Pep.
Yeah, bye-bye Pep. Go Pep somewhere else. It's not happening for them. And it should be. Yes, that offensive line is atrocious. Yes, that defense can give up some plays. Obviously, their special teams need work. You can go right to the New England game to look at that. But that's preparation. To me, special teams is preparation. That means that they're not prepared. That's coaching. That's all that is. If you're Andrew Luck and you're touted as maybe the bottom portion of an elite quarterback class and you're doing what you're doing, you're no longer in the bottom portion of that class. You're in maybe the middle portion of the good class because his interception ratio went from 48 passes to 24 passes now.
Cut it in half.
Too many times is he throwing balls in places that they don't belong. Too many times is he holding onto the ball for too long. Too many times is he looking to do something that he can't do, and he's trying to force things. Now, I don't know if that's him thinking, I've got to take everything on myself. You've seen quarterbacks do that. But he's got a good running game now. Frank Gore is a good running back still, and he's still putting up decent numbers when they're getting that push.
And you also bring in former Giant Ma Bradshaw to help carry the load.
And he's got weapons. It's not like he doesn't have guys. Dante Moncrief is a pretty underrated wide receiver. T.Y. Hilton, we know what he can do. And Andre Johnson, his resume speaks for itself. Oh, by the way, you've got two pretty good tight ends in Fleener and Dwayne Allen.
And also the rookie Philip Dorsett. He's hurt.
Right. So really a lot of it comes down to the offensive line, the defense. And if you're Andrew Luck, you have to overcome that. And that means you're not an elite quarterback. In my terms, in my eyes, he has dropped down. He is no longer in that class.
Yeah, I had him if you were on MSNBSports.com over the summer. Looking at my top 32 quarterbacks in the NFL, I had Andrew Luck rated up there. I want to say he was at 6. I didn't think he would be in the top 5 just yet because he's proven that he can lead a team to that next level, but
you can't get over the next level.
You can't get over the next level. You know, we have that discussion every year.
Yeah,
plus you got quarterbacks who won Super Bowls who are ahead of
them. Yeah, I mean, you gotta have the guys that have done it. You know, the Brady, the Rodgers, even the Breezes.
Right, exactly.
The Roethlisbergers. You know, both Mannings. You know, as far as I'm concerned, right now it's about winning Super Bowls if you're these guys. And now if you're Andrew Luck, you need to win the playoff games. Even Flacco maybe should be considered in this discussion.
You might have to.
He dropped down a little bit too. But at the same time, you know, he's at least done it and he's been there and he's gone to many, many playoffs. That's why, you know, them losing this last Monday night.
Right.
It just feels so unright to me.
Look at this division, Tom. Indy is at 3-4. Texans and Jacksonville are at 2-5.
It's ridiculous.
And Tennessee that one.
They can only beat them. They can only beat their division and they can't beat anybody outside their division. If I'm not mistaken, I think Pagano was 24-24 or 20-20 or something. With him and Luck as a combo. Because remember, it was Bruce Arians that they had such great chemistry with. And he was the one leading the team when they had their nice little run that they went on.
Right.
So you got to take that record out of it. That doesn't count. So they're really just a dead even record with these two guys as a combo coach and quarterback.
Well, we saw last year that they didn't have really any pieces at all. They go out and they get a ton of wideouts and they just compile a whole new court. But I don't know how they fare against the other teams in the NFL. It's almost like Andrew Luck is a quasi Andy Dalton. Because Andy Dalton gets scared too. But Andrew Luck doesn't win.
Neither does Andrew Luck, though.
Well, Andrew Luck has a playoff win.
One playoff win or two? He's got two. Okay, so you give him two playoff wins to none. I mean, I don't know. It's not that much more. And yeah, he's got a lot of time to go. I don't know. I'm just down on Luck right now. And I'm actually.
Are you down on your luck?
No. I'm saying I'm down. Can I get a little bit of a beard? I don't know. The way I look at it is he needs to really prove himself, and I don't think it's all on him, but he is a big part of this. And when you're looking at the team and you're saying, man, that team's going, everybody gives all the credit to Luck. So I don't want to turn around and say, you know what, it's the offensive line, it's the defense, it's the coaching. No, he's taking some of this blame too. He's throwing balls he shouldn't be throwing, and there's a lot more interceptions. He had it fixed last year. He hasn't really changed that much this year. And, you know, in years past, it's been a big problem. That was one of the biggest things that you pointed out in the past where I've kind of let it go.
Yeah.
And I've been like, no, it's okay. He'll come out and throw a touchdown right after that interception. Now it's starting to wear on me a little bit.
Especially when you don't have a defense that is a top 5, top 10 caliber.
I'll take a 15 defense with him. Even if you take a top 10 defense
and your quarterback is putting you in positions where you're on the field more than you should be, you're going to be weary. You're going to be tired. You're not going to perform at your best level.
True.
And that weighs on you. So for the fact that Andrew Luck doesn't have that and their defense is still out there on the field for a large portion of the game, that really hurts. So, I mean, we'll see. They're still number one in their division, no matter how grotesque they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
See, that as it may.
That's something that they
can
grow on, I think. If you're going to really look at them and say, okay, what can we do? How can we go forward? You can at least say to yourself, Monday night, we're going up against a real test against Carolina. Let's prove that we can beat Carolina in Carolina. That would be, and get to at least an even schedule or an even record at 4-4, still be number one in the division. That will be a huge boost to that team.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that on Saturday. Again, SoundCloud.com. Definitely get to more of that. But going back, like, I want to touch at least quickly on the Thursday night game. Did you touch it all on the Thursday night game?
Very briefly,
Well, we both called San Francisco. That's why, again, we put the kibosh on.
Yeah, of course.
We need to get, like, a sound or something. Like, a song. Like, Kibosh time.
Sweet. Boy, I'll tell you what. Do not get picked by us, any team out there. We're coming for you, dude. We're coming for you.
Exactly.
I see you, dude.
Yeah,
I see you.
That's going to be a big matchup.
Right. Miami, they want you. They want you.
Take
you down. I'm sorry. We move on. Your St. Louis Rams. Not a highly touted game, but it was a game they needed to win to stay relevant.
It was a Todd Gurley show. Took the brace off the knee, and I was like, okay, I'm a little concerned.
Like taking the training wheels off the bike?
Exactly. First of all, I'm seeing it. I mean, I'm appearing in this ride. I'm like, oh, my God, what are you doing?
I think you understand because it's like you want to be tentative, you know, as a St. Louis fan, as a Bills fan. We're tentative. We don't want to get excited because we know we've been let down.
No.
At least you've got a Super Bowl under your belt that gives you that, but that was a little while back, and it's been quite a while.
Yeah, new decade, it's a new life.
Right, and you know Jeff Fisher's been there for a while, and you're like, when are they going to start doing something to get this guy moving? And, you know, again, they're in a division where it's going to be tough. There is no doubt about it, but at least they're 500 right now. And they kind of hold a lot of their own chips. I mean, they've beaten two divisional teams right now, the two of the top divisional teams in that division. Yes, they beat the Cardinals and St. Louis, didn't they?
Well, the Cardinals and Seattle.
Seattle, I'm sorry. They are St. Louis.
You're fine. Yeah, they're number two in their division at 3-3. They play San Fran this week at home. So that should be a good one. Arizona is getting the win.
They're vying for a wild card spot. Yes, they have to. I mean, because Arizona's still doing what they're doing.
Right now, they are at 7.
Arizona's 5-2.
Minnesota,
yes.
Behind Minnesota and Atlanta.
Atlanta's tough, man. Atlanta's tough. They've got a run game. They won a 10-7 game. How many times would you expect Atlanta to win a game?
I haven't seen 10-7 come across a lot of football box scores.
Right, which means they can win those close defensive games.
Right.
So, albeit against Tennessee. And you know what? At this point, they're winning these games, though. They're staying right there in the mix. They're saying to themselves, okay, Carolina's still 6-0. We know we're going to have to face them a couple times. We've gone over the schedule many times here.
Right.
We know they're playing them multiple times within like a 3 or 4 week span. So they're going to get their due at that point, depending on what happens. But if I'm Atlanta, I'm sitting here saying these are the games we need to win. To win 10-7, you know, it was a rough day for Matt Ryan. Trust me, I know.
Oh, yes, I do.
But Devontae Freeman is still running wild, and he's leading the league right now in rushing, and he's a rookie. So you just give him the rock. You play that defense that you, I think, is getting better and better and better.
Dan Quinn's got him playing.
He's got him leaving. He's like Danny Campbell now.
But
in Miami, they're throwing points up like it's nobody's business.
Is this a Dan thing?
It might be. I'll take a Dan. Is there a Dan Shula?
I don't know if there's a Dan Shula. There's a Dan Marino.
No, I'm good on Dan Marino.
It's a Bill thing.
Yeah. If they hired Dan Marino, I would shoot somebody. Anyway, you know what? Good win for St. Louis. Good win for Arizona last night.
That's right. Baltimore.
Chris Johnson.
He's a man running wild.
9 years old, going out there.
Gunshot warning.
The way he did.
Bullet's still in him.
Bullet is still in him. It's true. They talked about it.
He's as fast as a speeding bullet.
Wow. Is he doing Coors Light commercials now?
I don't know.
Coors Light commercials, that's what he's going to be doing. Oh, no, he's going to be doing, like, airline commercials where he gets stuck in the...
Oh, yeah. Chris Johnson in the field running back for the years of the car.
And he goes under, and he's like, beep, 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 beep. They're like, sir, you're going to have to come over here with us. No, I've got a bullet in my shoulder, sir.
Here's the commercial. Hi, I'm NFL's running back, Chris Johnson, for the years on the car.
Yeah, but if you got to say you're Chris Johnson, then you're not popular enough.
What's the bullet? Who's the backup quarterback for the Saints? He's on the Verizon commercial.
It's Josh McCown.
Well, we know who he is. Listen, here it is. Here's the spot.
That's because he's a backup. This guy's a 2,000-yard back.
Yes. Listen, here's the commercial. 30 seconds, go. Hi, I'm NFL running back Chris Johnson for the Arizona Cardinals. I may not be able to get to my flight, but my bags will. Fly Delta.
Fly Southwest.
Fly Southwest for your bags. Fly free.
It's not great, is it? Chris, call us.
Call us.
Hit us up. MSWSports.com. Email us.
Hit us up on Twitter.
Let's set it up.
We'll get you all squared away. You don't need an agent. We'll be your agent. You want stuff outside of football, we'll find it for you.
True story.
We'll find their number.
True story. On a prior show, the director for ESPN's 30 for 30, Billy Corbin,
mm-hmm.
once said Tom Ellis should be his agent. True story.
It is true. I remember it.
Yeah.
It did happen. It was like a fleeting moment where I thought, oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
Really? Billy making way more money than I'm making now. Anyway, I did a really good job of introing.
You did.
And then, you know, relaying the information. I wanted everybody to be aware of what he'd be doing.
He's a great guy.
He was a great interview. It was one of those rare interviews where it was kind of just, you know, guys talking.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he didn't really know us from anybody, and he agreed to it, and it was great. That 30 for 30 was really good, too, though.
It was.
Yeah.
Part 2 was good, too, but the first one just that set the barrier.
Yeah, and crazy how much money these guys lose.
And broke. Yeah, did we have them on what? No, we had them on one.
We had them on for broke. Yeah, we had him for broke.
Yeah, we had him for
broke. And he was previewing the other one.
Yes.
It was like backyard fighting.
Yeah, something like that.
Down in Miami, where he's from, the area.
With Kimbo Slice, right.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the games. Jets, New England, give credit to the Jets.
You know, Jets look for real.
They look like they could at least hang with them. And at one point, I was like, something's going to happen. They're going to fall apart. And you know what happened? Rob Gronkowski.
Listen,
that dude.
He went to him late.
Would you trade Rob Gronkowski? What would it take to trade Rob Gronkowski if you were the Pats GM? If you were Bill Belichick, he's the GM, right? If you were, is he the GM? He's the guy that makes it go. We all know that. If you're him, would you trade Gronkowski? Would you give up 3 first round picks?
No. It'd have to be player picks.
You wouldn't take 3 first round picks.
No.
Would you take Andrew Luck in 2 first-round picks?
I got Brady.
No, Brady's not going to be around forever. He says he wants to play for 10 years. He's not playing.
He'll play at the high level for another 3 years. I would take Earl Thomas, Chancellor, in the first-round
pick. What?
Yeah.
You're crazy. No way. There is no player in the league that does what Gronkowski does. Tell me another player that comes even close.
My question to you is, who's your NFL MVP?
Well, it's Brady right now because he gets him the ball. But Gronkowski will never get it. He's a tight end.
If
Gronkowski puts up 15 touchdowns, they're just going to look at Brady and say, he's the one that gave it to him. So, yeah, you got to give it to Brady.
I don't think you can look at it like that because who's more dominant at their position? Is it J.J. Watt or is it
J.J. Watt was the most dominant defensive player we've seen since Lawrence Taylor, and he still didn't.
I don't think we've seen a tight end just do what we've seen Gronkowski do.
If he puts up 20 touchdowns, and has like
put up 17 last year.
If he puts up over 20 and does like 1,700 yards to beat it, yeah, you can give it to him. But I'm telling you right now, they're not going to give it to him. He was just over and over and over again. They just kept getting him the ball. And they threw for 54 attempts. Ran the ball for 9 times. They knew that they couldn't run against the defense. And they said, you know what, we're just going to keep doing this. And they did.
It looked like the opening game they played against Pittsburgh. It was Gronkowski all day.
But he didn't get 3 touchdowns.
He didn't. But still, just like, you just wow. You marvel at a performance.
You can't
like that.
Do anything against that. You just can't. Good win by Oakland.
Yeah. San Diego, I think your season's done. You're 2-5 in a competitive position.
That, man. Rivers, you got to feel like, did I make a mistake in re-signing with this team? You had your out, Philip Rivers. You could have gone to any team you wanted to go to. You had your out.
Yeah, it is. It stinks for a guy like that.
Amari Cooper is looking like the real deal. Amari Cooper looks like he could be the next great wide receiver, like a Julio Jones type guy.
Derek Carr, and I said this earlier to a friend of mine, I said, this is going to be the next great tandem in the NFL with Carr and Cooper. And they just, every week, they just light it up. I wish their running game would excel. But
I think they've got deficiencies. There is no doubt. But you know, you got to look at Jack Del Rio, former coach of a couple really good seasons at Jacksonville.
Yeah, he was probably their best coach behind Coughlin.
Right, and then you bring him over here, and he's just changing the culture now. You know what I mean? He's changing how these guys look and how these guys play, and the defense is starting to come on. And you know, I think it's one of those things where maybe Oakland's starting to turn the corner.
I said they will be a 7-1 team. They're at 3-3 right now. But they will be a really good 7-1 team. I mean, a team that could possibly win.
That's on the rise.
You could look on the schedule and say, hey, they had a 10-1 season right here.
You don't want to play
a couple games, you know,
right.
Slip through the cracks, right.
Because they're just not experienced enough. They've got a second-year quarterback, a rookie wide receiver. They've got a second-year defensive end that are all the, you know, cores of that team, the pillars of that team, so to speak. And when you look at this team, you just say to yourself, at some point they're going to break out because of all the young players and the young talent. And I believe in Jack Del Rio.
I do.
As a head coach. I'm glad he got another shot. I'm glad that he's taking it seriously. He's the first real guy that I've seen there where I felt like he's not just going to be pandering to the owner. He's going to come out there and perform. And these guys, I think, are buying in. So kudos to the Oakland Raiders who, you know, maybe having some friends next year or 2 years from now joining them in their stadium quest. Who knows?
Who knows?
Your St. Louis Rams, maybe?
Well, if you know San Diego, it has been confirmed they filed for relocation.
Could be.
Well, they did.
So it's happening.
They filed for relocation.
It doesn't mean it's happening.
Well, you know, of course, it has to be approved and stuff like right. that. But this is them saying, this is me saying, Tom, I'm moving. Now, I want
to. You actually move, I'm not going to believe you.
Pretty much. Real quick, are we doing – I don't think we're on slate for the show this week.
No.
So let's talk New England, Miami. We know it's a Tuesday, it's still early.
Oh, man, I can't wait for this game. I really hope Miami
– 6-0, 3-3.
I just want to see somebody give New England a real run for their money. The closest we've seen was the Jets.
Yeah.
And if I'm Miami, I'm literally saying to myself, the Bills are on the rocks, the Jets can be beat – New England's at the top. Let's take them down a peg. What do we got to lose? This season, we thought the season was going to be shot. We're now 3-3. We're third in the division. We're not that far out. I'm telling you, this is a prime game for Miami to possibly steal one from New England. What's the line on this? Do you know the line?
Ooh.
Any idea? It's got to be, what, 7.5? 6.5. I bet you 6.5.
No, I would go 5 if I had to guess.
I just figured 6.5 is that touchdown lead, you know what I mean? Like,
it might be 6.5.
I'm just thinking, like, okay, we'll give you 6.5, but if they win by a touchdown, you know what I mean? But 5.5 might be better because of the extra point situation that they have up. So 5.5 might be the new 6.5 going forward.
Wait, they're using any 20. Or orange is the new black. Just 7.5.
Is it 7.5?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a T.